I'd like to go on and think about eternal things. We talked about that city that the Lord has providing for us, is providing for us, and what a joy that will be. I'd like to talk to you about the bodies that we will have to enjoy that heavenly city. A survey was conducted in American Christians about what they thought about the resurrection. And over two-thirds of those that they surveyed believed that they would be resurrected, but they would be resurrected without bodies. They believed that they would just kind of float around and be in the clouds and play some harps, and that's all they thought. And that is not Bible. So I want us to explore this matter of our resurrected body this evening and see what the Bible has to tell us. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look into His Word. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord's Day, and we can gather and we have the freedom and we have the opportunity. You've given us health. You've provided a place. You've given us your word. Your spirit lives within. And we would just ask that you would give us your blessings this night as we look into your word. We know tomorrow is the beginning of the week, and many things have to be done, and things from last week still may trouble us. But we pray that we might be able to concentrate for a few moments on your word and the glorious hope that we have and the resurrected bodies that you will give us one day. Thank you for the ministry of the Spirit. May we allow him to teach and guide us for your praise and for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look and see what the Bible has to say. We're going to go and look at various verses this evening and see what the Bible has to say about our resurrected bodies. The first thing I want to mention to you, that first point, is that our resurrected bodies will be physical bodies. They will have a physicality to them. Many times they're called the spiritual body. But sometimes when we think of spiritual, we think of like a ghost, you know, and just. But the Bible teaches us that there will be a physicality to our resurrected bodies. Now, let me show you that. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's look in Job, first of all. Job, one of the oldest books in our Bible, makes a reference to this physicality of our resurrected body. So let's look in Job in chapter 19. Job 19, verse 25, familiar section where Job talks about the resurrection. And he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Then he says in verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He had this assurance that there was a physicality, that there would be a body in which he would see the Lord. Let's turn to the New Testament. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 35, Paul writing the most extended portion in our Bible about the resurrection. And he is countering two arguments that people would ask him. In verse 35, "But some men will say," question number one, "how are the dead raised up? And two, with what body do they come?" So these are two questions that he sets about to answer then in the remaining of the chapter. So what does he say? Well, let's jump to verse 42 through 44. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Okay, it's different. It's made of God, but it is a body. In John and chapter 2, turn with me to John. If you work out, that'll keep you from falling asleep. And chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, verses 19 and 20, Jesus makes this prediction in chapter 2, verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." There they are in the temple precinct, and there is the magnificent temple standing there that Herod has been working on all these years to bring it to greater beauty. And Jesus said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. They thought the temple that was nearby he was talking about, but he wasn't. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. The resurrection is going to involve the physicality of a spiritual body. We're not ghosts when we're raised. We have a body. Back up just a little bit in Luke 24. And Jesus has risen from the grave and he's talking to his disciples. And guess what the disciples think? The disciples think exactly what 2/3 of the people surveyed in America thought. Okay, look in Luke 24, verse 39. Verse 38, "And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." See, that's what they were thinking. He was a ghost. He said, come, look at my hands. Feel me. The resurrected body had physicality to it. Now, that's what the Bible teaches us as we go and look. Also, the concept of resurrection. The very word resurrection means to give life again to a being, bringing it back from death. All right? So when something is resurrected, when a person is resurrected, they were dead and now they're brought back to life. And man is both a spirit and a body. Genesis 2 tells us when man was made, he was body and soul. And when he is resurrected, he will be body and soul again. So what happens when a person dies? Okay, here's a person and they're a believer and they die. Their body is right there. But the Bible teaches us absent in the body, present with the Lord. When we die, we're released from our body for the very first time. We've always lived within. This is our home. This is our tent. And when we die as a believer, we go to be with the Lord. But the body's left behind. It's shed. It's motionless. And so they take the body and they bury it. But the believer in soul has gone to be with the Lord. That's what Paul was talking about, absent in the body, present with the Lord. But this soul with the Lord in heaven, we find as we read in various parts of the Bible and in the book of Revelation, that soul can see, that soul can communicate and talk, that soul in hell can feel, And so we think, wow, this is strange. How can a soul without a body do these things? But sometimes we forget that God is spirit, and He has no trouble hearing you and seeing you and moving and working in the affairs of men. So are angels. Angels are spiritual beings, and yet they can communicate. And many times when you hear the voice of the Lord, did you hear that voice with your physical ears? Or did you hear that voice with your spiritual ears? And so we sometimes fail to understand that there will be communication and thinking and feeling, even though our body is left behind. The resurrected body, first point, resurrected bodies will be physical bodies. They will have physicality. We are not ghosts. We have bodies. Second thing I want you to see is that resurrected bodies will be spiritual. They'll be Christ-like bodies. Now, by spiritual, that's what the Bible calls it, spiritual. But when we think of something spirit, it has no substance to it. That's wrong. Don't think that way. The Bible's talking about spiritual. This body is crafted by God. Your body was crafted by your parents. Of course, God gives life, etc. But your parents came together and gave birth, and you're in this world. But our spiritual body is a work of God. No human hands involved in that matter. So let's explore that. Resurrected bodies will be spiritual, Christ-like bodies. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 15 again. And verses 44 through 49. Let's see what the Word of God says. Talking about our resurrected bodies. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So see, you see the title that's given here. This, the way it's described. Natural or spiritual? Natural is how you came into this world. The spiritual body is the body God gives you for your eternal existence. And it's called spiritual. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Don't make the mistake that this isn't so. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, which is Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. He makes us alive. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we will ever rise, it will be through Jesus. Because He has that power. He is a quickening spirit. The first man, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, the fleshly body that we're in right now, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We haven't seen that body yet. Our spiritual bodies are real bodies. Heavenly, made without hands, like Jesus' resurrected body. There's no human procreation involved in these new bodies. Heavenly transcends earthly, but does not negate earthly. Their earthly becomes heavenly, not losing its original properties, but gaining much more. When Jesus was resurrected, He was Jesus. But He was more than He was before His resurrection in that body that He was in. Let's look at some scriptures. We're in Corinthians. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We read this in our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's our bodies, okay? We live in these bodies. They're earthly. What's your body made up of? Chemicals. You got a bit of calcium in you, got a bit of oxygen, you got a bit of manganese and all these things. You came from the earth. Genesis 2 tells us that. We return to the earth when we die. We're earthy. And so he tells us, if this earthly body that we've lived in all our life is dissolved, what happens? We have a building, a body of God, and house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are given a heavenly body in which to live. That is amazing. That is wonderful. Look what John says in 1 John chapter 3. He says the same thing. 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 2. He says this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You've trusted Christ as Savior. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. But there's more to it than the salvation you have right now. The gospel does more for us than just takes care of the problem of sin in our life. Because we have another problem that we've never been able to overcome, and that's death. The gospel will break the power of death in our lives. He explains. Look what he says. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that's Jesus, when he comes back for us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He was the forerunner. We will follow him with these resurrected bodies, these spiritual Christ-like bodies. Turn with me to one more passage in Philippians chapter 3. Paul is talking about this, and he says in verse 20 of chapter 3, for our conversation, our citizenship, we are citizens of heaven. We're just passing through this earth. That's where we belong, in that new city that we talked about this morning. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Vile means lowly. Doesn't mean that it's inherently evil. It means it's lowly. It's from the dirt. It came from the dirt. It returns to the dirt. He's going to change our fleshly bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. How's that going to happen? According to the working, according to the energy, the power, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The power that Jesus Christ has to conquer the whole world. It's that power that will change our bodies to glorious bodies. Well, what was Jesus' body like? Okay? Yes and no answers, okay? Wake you up here. Let's think about Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, did he walk? Yes. Did he eat? Could he be touched? Could he talk? Did he look like Jesus? Did he have the wounds that he just had recently received by his death on the cross? Did he have a halo? Oh, I thought I'd trick you there. Get you in that pattern. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, you're too quick. Did he wear strange clothing? No. Did he talk with a otherworldly voice? No. Could he continue his relationship with the people that were his friends before his death? He picked it right up. Thomas, yes, you denied me. Let's talk about that. Peter, yeah, let's. Folks, that's what our resurrected bodies are going to be like. They're going to be glorious. Did Jesus have the ability to materialize suddenly, pass through doors and walls, and ascend up into heaven? Will we have that ability? Pastor's wise, he goes like this. Because we don't know if those abilities are part of the glorified body or if they're there because of deity, that Christ is God's Son. So we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Be kind of neat if they were part of the glorified body, wouldn't it? After the ascension, think about Jesus' body. After the ascension, now he's ascended up into glory. The angels are watching him, and the angels come and say he's going to come in the same manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus is going to return bodily to earth one day. Do we ever see Jesus again now in heaven? Yes, we do. Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. And the glory and the radiance of Christ was so great that it knocked him off the animal that he was traveling on and blinded him. John sees the ascended Lord in the book of Revelation, and he writes that his radiance is such that he falls to the ground. The Bible tells us that we will have a spiritual body like Christ. Will there be some radiance to it? I don't know. Angelic beings seem to have a radiance and aura about them. Then they're not God, but they are associated with God. Maybe we will have that. I don't know. But I do know resurrected bodies will be spiritual Christ-like bodies, whatever that means fully. Folks, get it out of your mind that our resurrected, we're just kind of, you know, like ghosts just floating around. We are not like that at all. Our bodies will be physical bodies. Our bodies will be spiritual Christ-like bodies. Thirdly, our bodies will be progressive, or maybe what we should say, updated bodies to what we have right now. When the resurrection takes place, it does not call into existence a completely new set of people. But these are people who have been restored, refreshed, renewed, redeemed, resurrected by the power of God. This will be you and I. It's not a whole race of new people. It's you and I redeemed. R.A. Torrey said this, "We will not be dismembered spirits in the world to come, but we will be redeemed spirits in redeemed bodies in a redeemed universe." Maybe a good way of illustrating this is with your computers or your phones or your pads or tablets, whatever you had, and you receive a note, a new operating system update has come. And so you push the button and you update. Now, hopefully everything will work again, but not always happens, okay? But you still now, what happens is you still have the operating system that you had before, but it has new bells and whistles to it. Now you can do this, and now you can do that, and you can do this, and you can do that. Maybe that will help us understand these resurrected bodies will be our bodies, but with new dimensions and new qualities to them that we've never experienced before. An updated fashion to our bodies? Maybe this illustration will help us. When we became a Christian, remember when you became a Christian, you were different inside, but you looked the same outwardly. You didn't get a halo, didn't get wings. Your name wasn't changed. You didn't get a new job. You didn't get a new family. Well, you had a spiritual family, but everything that was there before is still there, but you're different. You've been changed by the Spirit of God. And this is what the Bible seems to tell us about our bodies. Let's check it out. Let's go to Luke's Gospel. Luke 24. Here's the resurrected Lord. Let's see if he is the Lord or if he's totally different. Luke 24 and verse 39. Luke 24, verse 39. Jesus says, talking to his disciples, they're troubled. Verse 38, he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? Why do your hearts why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." Okay, this resurrected body was Jesus' body. But he could do things that he had not done before the resurrection. "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Great insight into our resurrected body. The wounds were there. Some of them saw these wounds inflicted upon him. It was his body. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 51 through 57. 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." We're not all going to die, but we all are going to be changed. You can't get into that eternal city that we talked about unless your body is adapted to that eternal living. So we all have to be changed. Most of us will go through death, but there'll be one generation that will be alive when Jesus comes, and they'll just be changed. They won't go through death, but that's only that one generation that's there when the Lord returns. "I show you a mystery, a secret. This wasn't already known. We won't all sleep, we won't all die, but we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Well, what kind of change? "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up of victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about sin. Man has been unable to advance one iota with the sinful nature that man has within him. But Jesus, dying on the cross, took our sin upon him and in exchange gave us his righteousness, and now the power of sin is broken. But the other thing that mankind has never been able to advance on is this matter of death. No one escapes it. And death comes because we've been stung by sin. And when we've been stung by sin, the poison, and we die. But in Christ, in the gospel, the power of death is broken. And our resurrected bodies are proof of that power to break sin in our life. This mortal, you see that in verse, well, I flipped over to Luke here. This mortal must put on. And so the resurrected bodies will be updated, progressive bodies. I wonder if we'll still retain our history of our life. I wonder if we'll retain the giftings and the talents and the abilities that we have. I mean, when you think of someone, you think of their personality and their abilities, and you know, they're great woodworkers. Oh, they can sing. I wonder if those will carry on. But we'll be able to do these things on a much higher, greater standard than ever before. That'd be wonderful if that's what it'll be. Let's look at the last thing. Our resurrected bodies will be physical bodies. Our resurrected bodies will be spiritual Christ-like bodies. They'll have physicality to them. Our resurrected bodies will be progressive or updated bodies. Lastly, our resurrected bodies will be imperishable bodies. We've read in 1 Corinthians 15. Look back at verse 42. I better get to 1 Corinthians 15 here. Better go this way. All right, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. This word corruption is the idea of perishableness. You've all gone to see someone who, their last moments of life, and you viewed the great perishableness that is obvious on their bodies. They were once big and strong, and now their bodies have shrunk, and they can't even get out of bed. They once had a powerful voice, and that voice is gone. And you look, and you know, that's not the man or the woman or the child that you knew. They have been ravished by sin and disease, and death is just coming right now. But you take that body, and you sow it in the ground. And the Bible tells us that that which is sown in corruption is raised in incorruption. The body that God gives us, He changes it to be, is imperishable. It will never grow old. It will never diminish. It will never lack power. It will be imperishable, eternal, just like the body of Christ. Look what he says. Secondly, it's sown in dishonor, verse 33. It is raised in glory. Here's the great men of the world. Remember, President Reagan was, I considered, a fairly good president, U.S. president. He got dementia. And the last years of his life, he didn't know anybody, didn't even know his wife. Here's a man who was honorable, most powerful man on the face of the earth, I suppose, at one time. And now he can't even think or do the simplest things. What dishonor. But folks, that's only for a moment, because bodies of believers that are ravished and their minds are destroyed and they're not what they used to be. You plant that in the ground and wait for the day of the resurrection, and it is raised in glory. The power of God doing that for His children. He goes on in verse 44, 43. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual, heavenly body like Christ. Now that's what the Bible says. And that's what Jesus, God, has ordained in this world. Every farmer that goes out to plant takes his seed. And whether it's corn, it's a kernel of corn, it's all dry, hard, and shriveled. And to get anything, he has to plant it in the ground. It has to die. And from that comes a green stalk that looks nothing like corn. And it grows up and it produces hundredfold from that. And God has built into the survival of man on planet Earth daily lessons about the resurrection. And people scoff and say, no, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. Jesus says just the opposite. There is a natural body. We know that. But are you willing to believe there is a spiritual body? Resurrected bodies are not intended to just float in space or flirt from cloud to cloud. They call for a new earth on which to live and to work, glorifying God. The doctrine of the resurrection of the body, in fact, makes no sense whatever apart from the doctrine of a new earth. We saw that this morning, though we didn't talk about it. A new earth, a new heaven, a new city. They make no sense unless we have a new body in which to enjoy this existence. Look how the chapter ends. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That sting of death that brought all this is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law tells us how great sinners we are. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the gospel takes care of the problem of sin and takes care of the problem of death and sets us free and makes us children of God and promises to live with Him and He with us for all eternity in a glorified body. That ought to excite us. But it ought to secondly do what he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, you need to be steadfast and unmovable. I hope I come back sometime to Lismore Church and see you again. And I hope I see you being steadfast. If you go home to glory, that's okay. Otherwise, no excuse. If you really believe this, I mean, that's the application, isn't it? If you believe that you will have a glorified, resurrected body like we've been talking about, then nothing short of death and going to be with the Lord will keep you from being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just doing what's convenient, but doing what would glorify God, as much strength as you have, abounding in the work of the Lord. But it's hard. And I seem to have to do so much, and there's others that aren't doing anything, and no one seems to appreciate it. No, abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? What does it say? It says in my Bible, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All we do for Christ, with an attitude for Christ, He records and will reward and will bless. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be abounding. You don't have to have lots of you. Just a few. God delights to take the few and the common and the unimportant to do amazing things. The best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to my glorified body. You know, we sometimes say, oh, you know, I wanted to help. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. One day that will never be able to be said. The spirit is willing, and the body responded with power and strength every time we needed it. To serve God forever. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have for your children in the future. A new heaven, a new earth, a new city to the glory of God, and a new body in which to serve you forever. We are unworthy. We are amazed. We are humbled that you would do all of these things for sinners. And we thank you. And we want to be faithful. We want to be steadfast. We want to be unmovable. We want to be abounding. Give us grace. Bless this church. Use them mightily in the days ahead for your glory and praise. Till we see, till our faith gives way to sight, and we see the city, and we enjoy our bodies, and we can serve you in the new heaven and the new earth forever. Praise be to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.